660 AM. The Answer.
Let's make an offer on that Aspen Street house.
That one doesn't have a home warranty.
Is that a problem?
Not if you like paying through the nose on home system breakdowns.
What do you mean?
Like, if the air conditioner quits, want to pay for a new one? Do you know how to fix the water heater, the plumbing?
Got it. Let's only look at places with home warranties.
A home warranty from American Home Shield protects homeowners against unexpected covered repairs and breakdowns of major home systems and appliances. Who would want to move into a new home without one? Just ask your local real estate professional. Or for complimentary, helpful information about a home warranty from American Home Shield, call now at 1-800-720-6695. Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. An American Home Shield home warranty instantly gives home buyers confidence in their purchase. For complimentary, helpful information, including terms, rates, and coverage, call 1-800-720-6695. 1-800-720-6695.
660 AM. The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM. The Answer. Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. We're in our second hour, and I have my leading ladies have joined me. And this hour is Carrie Kellerman and Chris Davis.
Good evening.
Hi, there. Ladies.
And we have our caller. I mentioned at the start of our show that at the top of this second hour, we're going to be talking with a young woman I met just recently named Emily Kibideau. She is an attorney for the Texas Right to Life organization and their political director. And I believe we have her online. Emily?
Yes, ma'am. Hi, Debbie. Hi, ladies. How are y'all?
Great. Emily, how are you?
I'm well.
You know, I love hearing your cheerful voice. You're just a bundle of energy and enthusiasm, and I appreciate that. You know, I just want to start and jump right in because this hour just always goes by so fast. So I know, yeah, Texas Right to Life works in the Texas legislature on right to life issues, but I guess I want to start with, given that Texas really got a very strong bill through in the last session that had to do with improving the quality of the facilities where abortions occur, have you mostly solved the right to life issues in Texas, or what is it that your organization really would still like to see accomplished in Texas law?
Absolutely, Debbie. Well, first, we are far from over. There's been some talk that there's nothing left in Texas, but there are countless ways that we can protect the preborn, that we can protect moms and protect families. And the bill that you're talking about is House Bill 2, and that increased safety standards for women who choose to have an abortion and are going into facilities in the state of Texas. And I want to make a point, which is very very near to our success, is the fact that, Debbie, that bill, that life-saving measure that we hear so much about, had to be passed in a special session in 2013. It had to be called by Governor Rick Perry because the Texas House failed to move any of those measures during the regular called session in 2013. And so if it wasn't for Governor Perry's leadership, we wouldn't have that life-saving measure. But you know, we've seen going forward, we still have state funding that's going to fund these abortion businesses when that money could be used to fund federally qualified health centers that deal with more preventive care and across the spectrum health care for men, women, and children, instead of going to these privately owned quote-unquote family planning clinics where really they're just selling abortions. And that's one reason, one way that we can, as a state, is continue to take some of those funds away. In Texas, we did do a great job in 2011 with removing the bulk. We removed about $80 million of state taxpayer funds from abortion facilities and transferred those funds to federally qualified health centers, your county clinics, your clinics that help serve low-income families, but still, there's about $10 million more in the state's budget that we can do away with, and that's one of the reasons that Texas Right to Life, one of the things Texas Right to Life is looking forward to next legislative session.
Hi, Emily. This is Carrie. I have a question for you.
Sure.
You were talking about moving money from Planned Parenthood type of health centers to different kinds of health centers for women's health. Can you tell me kind of what is the ratio between Planned Parenthood, like family planning type clinics versus clinics that cover a wide spectrum of women's health issues?
Sure. Well, right now, there's about... if the full ambulatory surgical center provisions of HB2 become into effect, we would have about 8 abortion clinics in Texas. Okay, so the 8 abortion clinics who would receive money under this facility versus every single community health center you have in every 254 counties in Texas and in some of your more metropolitan areas, you've got federally qualified health centers, and you know that number is much greater than 8 abortion clinics.
So their defense that, hey, if you close us down or defund us, that's going to put a big dent in women's health care is a false argument?
It absolutely is. I'll tell you something that I was reading. There's been a little more court litigation coming up with House Bill 2 in Texas District Court, and one of the filings for the El Paso abortion clinic, their attorneys admitted, they said, without their profit source of profit, meaning performing abortions, mm-hmm. committing abortions, the clinic had to close. And to me, reading that filing as a lawyer and reading it as a pro-life advocate, it just astounded me. I mean, I knew that, you know, abortion was what they're here for. But to say that in a public court filing mm-hmm. document, I mean, that just goes to show that women's health is not what they're here for. They're here. Abortion businesses are here to make money, and that is their best money.
The reason for being.
Selling abortion. Yeah.
Emily, hey, this is Chris, and I wanted to bring up, you know, our hearts are broken over what's been revealed about Planned Parenthood through the videos that have been released. And I keep hearing that there are federal laws that are broken. Could you speak to that? Because if there are laws that are broken, that people need to be held accountable for that.
You're right. One of the laws is partial birth abortion ban. That's a federal law that prohibits partial birth abortion. Extracting the baby all the way out until his or her head is the only thing that's left inside of his or her mom, and then killing the child. That in some of these videos, it raises a question as to whether or not partial birth abortion is being conducted in order to achieve what you see on these videos is called the best specimens or fully intact babies. And some of the videos that we've seen from the Center for Medical Progress, they're talking about, well, sometimes the mom delivers too quick.
Yes, I've heard that.
And what that means is a baby being born and then killed. And that should shock anyone's conscience. And then to selling for profit human body parts, mm-hmm. that's against federal law. So
I'm just amazed that, I'm not amazed that our attorney general is not going after this. In fact, I think I heard that she is investigating the people who are revealing this information.
Loretta Lynch, the U.S. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know.
You know, Emily, it seems like social media is the one that's been carrying this. The regular mainstream media doesn't seem to want to talk about this.
You are right. At the very beginning, there were some, I'm from Houston, and then I work a lot in Austin. And so I did see in Houston and Austin, my regular news channels, you know, our local stations carrying and showing some of the shocking footage, for which I was, you know, if there's any part of this that could be a cause for change instead of just absolutely horrible, you know, there are people, mainstream people, who maybe don't realize the realities of abortion, but they were seeing this in their living rooms. But after about the first week, and my experience is limited to Houston and Austin, so I don't know what it was like around the rest of the country, but you're right, social media. I mean, I could see people that I, in my community, whom I have grown up with, had no idea how they felt on the issue of abortion. And then those videos came out. I could tell. You know, I could identify people who thought abortion was wrong, or and I'll tell you one thing, our media director, Melissa Conway, she's our external relations director for Texas Rights Life, and right after the first video broke, she spent probably 12 hours straight on the phone with reporters. And you know what she said? She said, I got a chance to talk about the humanity of the preborn child with these reporters. And I had reporter after reporter after reporter say, you know, I used to be pro-choice, but that's not really a choice. And yeah.
Yeah. And I want to jump in and ask about back to the Texas legislature. You know, I think it's so curious. People around the country look at Texas and we are a conservative state. We're the Bible Belt. And yet you have encountered difficulty getting some of the pro-life legislation passed that you were that seemed reasonable to Texas Right to Life, and I think to pro-life people generally. So is the reason things don't pass in Texas that are pro-life because you really are running into very strong pro-choice opposition, or is it mainly people just don't see it as an important enough issue? They don't want to be out there. They don't want to be seen as pro-life. And what's the reason that some of these other pro-life measures that Texas Rights Life supports don't get through?
When talking about the legislature and bills passed or not passed, I think it's one of apathy. Apathetic Republicans who either don't really passionately care about the preborn, the disabled, or the elderly, or they are just saying that they're Republican because that's how they have to win in their districts. You're right, Debbie. People, we're in campaign season time now. You know, your elected officials are coming back to your communities and they're saying all is well with Texas. Texas is great. You should be concentrating on Congress and Obama. But that's not necessarily the truth, Debbie. We have 98 Republicans in the Texas House. And we've had about that number since 2011. The amount that Texas Rights Life has had to work, how many resources, manpower, financial resources that we've had to expend to pass one, even just one token solid pro-life bill each session, it just makes my skin crawl when I then hear those same elected officials like Byron Cook from House District 8 in Corsicana and Palestine come back to their districts and say, I've been leading the charge against pro-life efforts. Actually, no, you're the one killing them in your committee because you care more about politics than actual policy and saving lives. Mm-hmm. And that the myth of there's nothing to see in Texas, move along. That is a myth that I encourage voters to really take a harder look at.
Well, Emily, we're nearly at the end of this segment, but I did want to ask you, you mentioned one individual, Byron Cook. If people want to understand who in the Texas legislature is actually strong and active in protecting life versus those who just say that they are, but they don't really do much or they actually undermine, is there a way they can find that out, like on your website?
Absolutely. www.texasrighttolife.com, all spelled out. We have our scorecards for the last legislative session, and then we've also released a pro-life hero list and dishonorable mentions list. And what those two do is they kind of show voters who worked behind the scenes negatively to try to stall pro-life legislation, or those who actively champion behind the scenes pro-life issues when no one is looking, the true pro-life heroes. And we've been diligent. Each week we are releasing an article on a pro-life hero, someone on the pro-life hero list or more, and then someone on the dishonorable mention list about how their scores, how their votes on the floor don't really tell the whole story because of what they did off the record behind closed doors.
We are speaking with Emily Kibideau, who is just she is in-house counsel at Texas Right to Life. She's also their political director. She's a fireball activist and just a lovely young woman who's just doing so much good for Texas and for Texas moms and babies. I want to thank you so much for calling in tonight, Emily. And
absolutely. Thank y'all.
Thank you so much. And we're going to zip off to our break and attempt to get a little more on track this hour. So this is Debbie Georges, Carrie Kelman, and Chris Davis, and ladies, can we talk in 660 AM The Answer? We come back from the break. I want to go back to talking a little bit more about the shooting of the officer in Houston and the state of race relations in America. And if you love this country, how is it we can make race relations better? We're going to turn to that and many other news of the day, topics of the day. So come on back after the break. Debbie Georges, ladies, can we talk?
660 AM, The Answer. 660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
If an ad campaign said, "Try this product, everyone who tries it hates it," you wouldn't buy the product unless you got tricked into buying it. That is what the American left is doing when they slip socialist ideas into America's policies. They have to hide them or wrap them up in a shiny package of slippery words, or we wouldn't buy them. Cuba has miles of stunning beaches perfect for a booming tourism industry that could employ thousands, but they don't, and Cubans are poor and hungry. Hi, I'm Debbie Georgiatis, and on my show, Ladies Can We Talk, we talk about America and socialism. There's a reason that Cubans try to sneak out of Cuba and into America every chance they get. Socialism spreads misery and crushes freedom and the human spirit. Free markets give Americans the best living standard on earth, and they give everyone the most freedom to pursue their dreams. Tune in every Sunday morning to my show, and we'll talk about it.
Two little tablets is all it takes to get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically proven, loved by celebrities, and recommended by doctors. And right now, a 90-day supply of Viviscal is being offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-481-7987. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. It makes thin hair full, full hair beautiful, and promotes the growth of thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective, 96% of women would recommend it to a friend. Listen to this.
It's vibrant, shiny, bouncy, everything you want your hair to be. I love Viviscal because it works. It completely works.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls can try it risk-free for 90 days, plus free shipping. Get thicker, fuller hair guaranteed. Call now, 800-481-7987. 800-481-7987. That's 800-481-7987.
There's no question juicing is the hottest craze sweeping America today. Why? Because juicing supports healthy energy, vitality, and cleansing. It even helps you stay fit and trim. The only problem with juicing, though, is the mess, the cost, and the cleanup. Introducing the Certified Organic Juice Cleanse, the fast and easy way to get the benefits of juicing without the hassle and without the cost. The Organic Juice Cleanse is organic juicing made simple. With over 24 superfruits and dark green vegetables like blueberries, broccoli, spinach, and kale, each great-tasting scoop of the Organic Juice Cleanse rejuvenates your body from the inside out. You just scoop, shake, and go, and you'll feel great every day. Best of all, be one of the first 1,000 callers and get your free bottle today. That's right, for your free bottle of the Organic Juice Cleanse, call right now. 1-800-500-3510. That's 1-800-500-3510. Call now. 1-800-500-3510.
This plan is not insurance and does not meet minimum credible coverage requirements under the Affordable Care Act. This discount card program contains a 30-day cancellation and refund period. Administrator and benefits limited. Dallas, Texas, not available in all states.
Are your medical expenses and insurance costs out of control? There's a way to pay less for the healthcare you need. RealMedSavings.com. It's a membership like a club that lets you access huge networks of medical professionals for a whole lot less money. RealMedSavings even connects you with a board-certified physician anytime, 24 hours a day. The doctor will consult with you, diagnose the condition, and when necessary, call in the prescription. You pay nothing for the doctor's consultation because you're a member. You save money because we've already negotiated discounts on dental, vision, prescription drugs, and much more. Just go to RealMedSavings.com and learn all about it. RealMedSavings is not insurance. You just save real money on your health care for you and your whole family. And it costs less than a dollar a day for the whole family. No salesperson will call, and there is no long-term commitment. Convenient money-saving health care. RealMedSavings.com.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiatis on 660 AM The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk? This is our second hour, so I have my leading ladies here tonight, Chris Davis and Carrie Kellerman, and so enjoy having the group in the room to talk. You know, I want to go back. I appreciate Emily Kibito calling in from Texas Right to Life. She's obviously a brilliant and sparkly presence. They're lucky to have her. I want to turn back to a story we're on the last segment, and before the end, the top of the hour break, and it had to do with the shooting of Officer Goforth in Houston and also the Black Lives Matter movement. It's really important to try to step back from this, and instead of thinking of it as a liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican, black versus white, officer versus the people, this is an issue about America and about the idea of law and order in America, and about the equally important idea that we do not want a society where any segment of society feels they are mistreated by the authorities or treated unfairly. All of us need to care about all lives. All lives matter. Black lives matter. Police officers' lives matter. Unborn children lives matter. Senior citizens' lives matter. All lives matter. And as Americans, one of the beautiful things about our country and its founding was we talked about in the Declaration the idea that we're all created equal. I mean, this is a founding idea of America. We're all created equal. We have rights from our Creator, endowed by our Creator. And as a society, as a culture, as a country, as a civilization, it's our job to protect that. So if we do have officers who behave badly, who behave in a discriminatory manner, we need to stop that. And if we have false narratives perpetuated that say there's a war on that police are out to get young black men, that's another lie, another narrative that must be stopped. Because this shooter in the Houston case, it appears, was drawn into, motivated by this Black Lives Matter movement that has as an underpinning to it an argument that police officers are out to get people all the time. And, you know, the idea of black Americans feeling repressed and, you know, statistically people point out, for example, that there are more blacks who live in poverty than, you know, a larger percentage of blacks are in poverty than our percentage of blacks in American society. There are all sorts of indicators that that everything isn't perfect in America and that we need to make improvements of all kinds. But I think it so much matters to look at what is true. What are the facts? And that's why I mentioned this article. I'm going to put it on our Facebook page. I cannot urge you strong enough to read it. It's called The March of Foolish Things, and it's an interview with Thomas Sowell, Dr. Thomas Sowell. One of the amazing things, and he talks about in this interview, that there is actually a new book coming out by a gentleman who's getting a lot of play. He's a black writer. This new book is by a man named, it's a hyphenated first name, Ta-Nehisi Coates. And he's a writer for The Atlantic, and he's a black writer making the pitch for reparations, saying that the only way to get things straight in America is to have reparations to African Americans because of the history in America of slavery and then of segregation and Jim Crow laws and all the things that are stains on America's history. But Thomas Sowell has many points I want to share with you, because all of us need to be, our primary goal can't be to beat the other side, to shut them up. The goal is to unite Americans around higher, better ideas that benefit everyone, that allow each of us to flourish. One point that Dr. Thomas Sowell makes is that what he finds more troublesome is not the comparison between how blacks and whites flourish in America today, but rather how black Americans flourish in today's society versus 40 years ago. The black American experience today versus 40 years ago, Dr. Thomas Sowell has not only spoken about, but written about. He's a prolific author. He makes the point that the decline in the economic welfare and well-being of the black American family came largely in parallel with the growth of the welfare state. He makes the point that, this is just one astounding example, that the destruction of the black family, that the black family in large part in America has been destroyed by, or at least greatly damaged by, the existence of the welfare state. And so we have, you know, many, a very high percentage of young black children being raised in homes with a mom and no dad, and so, and dependent on government, dependent on society, and those families are impoverished. And that it got worse because of the welfare state. And Dr. Soul makes this, I want you to write this down if you're a note taker. This is a true story, as my dad used to love to say. For every year, this is Dr. Thomas Soul, for every year from 1994 to the present, black married couples have had a poverty rate in single digits. Okay, that's a poverty rate lower than the national poverty rate. His point is, if you engage in responsible adult, get married, stay married, have kids together, and you're black, you're not going to be poor. Poverty is a result of behaviors that came about as a result of the welfare state. He makes point after point about how black Americans lived better and functioned better and flourished better before we became a society that encouraged dependency on government. And he also talks about, and because this is interesting, in this election cycle, that raising the minimum wage, increasing the minimum wage in America hurts black Americans. It hurts low-income Americans. It hurts poor young black men whom we all want to see get jobs. And this is a really important thing. Dr. Soul is an economist. He's a PhD economist. He laments in this article how disappointed he is in the fact that economics get talked about and there's economic opinions across the board. Everyone talks about it, and most people don't have any idea what they're talking about. His books are data-driven, fact-based. He talks over and over about the idea you've got to stop listening to false economic theories, frankly, that the left always pushes, that we can heal poverty by increasing government programs to help poor. We can help people by increasing the minimum wage. These are factually, disprovably false. They are provably false statements. And so instead of clamoring about, you know, things we can't prove and spending time on finger pointing and trying to decide who's at fault because, you know, we have impoverished black Americans and we have terrible instances between police and young black men, why not instead talk about the ideas that heal and uplift? And those are not the ideas the Democrat Party is ever trying to sell America. So I'm going to put this article up. I think we're going to have to come back to this a lot of other Sundays. But we should want, as people who love this country, who love our neighbors as ourselves, who love the American spirit, the American people, the American dream, we have to come together, race put aside, come together and unite around the ideas that made America abundant, prosperous, and exceptional. Unite those ideas, unite around those ideas, invite everyone to join those ideas, and we will see an improvement in every aspect of American society. Because the truth is, we don't want to have a war between races, which is being talked about, especially by the Black Lives Matter supporters and by people who, some of the recent incidents have involved a shooter who is black saying, I want to start a race war. We don't want a race war. We want to have unity around ideas that are right and true and timeless. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk? In 6:60 a.m., The Answer. We're going to zip off to our break and come back after the break with my leading ladies who had patiently waited because I decided to do this. I got off of this, and I had to get off my chest in this break. But we'll come back after the break to Chris Davis and Carrie Kelman, and ladies, can we talk?
You can listen on the go. Find us on iHeartRadio. 6:60 a.m., The Answer. Sean Hannity thinks Hillary Clinton has more to worry about than her campaign.
If they find those lost 33,000 emails,
the ones she's deleted,
you're going to not only find classified information, the whole Benghazi issue is going to be brought to an entire new level. And instead of worrying about being elected president, her biggest fear is going to be how much time she may have to spend in jail.
The Sean Hannity Show. Afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5 on 6:60 a.m. The Answer.
Ladies, did you hear that public schools in America are pushing for the expansion of the number of kids who are served dinner at school, along, of course, with breakfast and lunch? And the trend is growing. In 13 states, just last year, 104 million dinners served to students in schools. And the government reimburses schools for serving dinners, often paying the schools more than the food costs. So the schools are, of course, incentivized to grow these programs. A win-win, right? Except, what about the impact this trend will have on family closeness, parental responsibilities, and family planning decisions? And who spends time with your kids shaping the next generation's views? This is Debbie Georgiadis. While we do have a noble society that cares for the poor, our policies and our tax dollars should not be used to wean parenting responsibilities away from parents or that substitute government for mom and dad. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Hey, it's Mark Davis. You've heard me talk about how great it was for Josh DeShong to take the reins and sell our house. I want him to do the same for you, and I asked Josh how he can make that promise to agree on a sales price and a time frame, and if it doesn't happen, he buys your house. How's that working out?
We can drive more exposure than anybody else can on our properties. The more exposure means more money.
It's basically legwork, doing the marketing, getting that first set. You only need one buyer. Always heard you say, exactly. You need one buyer. Your job, find it.
Yep, exactly. And so the more people that see the property, the more somebody ends up paying for it, the more it's better for everybody all around. So we've been at right now to about a house a day this year.
Josh DeShong Real Estate, top ranked for a reason. Call him at 972-325-6644 or the website getsold.net. When it's time to get serious about selling that home, call the man who did it for us, Josh DeShong, 972-325-6644 or getsold.net, 972-325-6644. 6644.
Sample comes with a 90-day order. Copays and deductibles may apply.
If you or someone you care for are using painful urinary catheters, Medical Direct Club can help. There's a new catheter that hurts less, and you can get a free sample with free shipping by calling now. Pain and urinary tract infections can be avoided if you're using urinary catheters. The new disposable catheters from Medical Direct Club hurt less due to an incredible new design that reduces pain by gliding easily and effortlessly. Old catheters can scrape and cut, causing pain and infection. These new catheters from Medical Direct Club are changing the lives of people who use urinary catheters. Medicare and your insurance will pay for up to 200 of these new catheters per month at little or no cost to you. Medical Direct Club handles all of the paperwork with your doctor and includes lifetime free shipping when you join. Membership and a free sample are free, so call Medical Direct Club now, 1-800-600-1127. That's 1-800-600-1127. End painful cathing today. Call 1-800-600-1127.
Hi, I'm Larry Patterson, owner of Glass Doctor. In our disposable society, we're conditioned to throw out the whole thing when just one part goes bad. Like when the insulated glass windows in your home get condensation between the panes. You don't need to replace the whole window. The specialists at Glass Doctor can install new insulated glass in your existing frames with a lifetime warranty for a lot less than you might think. To see how quick and easy it is, visit glassdoctor.com today. That's glassdoctor.com.
Call the Glass Doctor, we'll fix your paint.
Oh yeah!
660 AM. 660 AM. The Answer. 660 AM. TheAnswer.com.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I'm so happy you've tuned in. My leading ladies, my buddies, are here tonight with me, Carrie Kelman and Chris Davis. And we were just talking about...
It was another soapbox speech that you did so eloquently about the Thomas Sowell article. And I just wanted to remind you that our good friend, Alan West, posted very similar information back in May on his website with an article entitled Shocking Statistics About Black Slavery Liberals Will Never Admit. And in his article, he quotes another intellect, and yes, Alan West, I'm calling you an intellect, Dr. Walter Williams, who confirms this information as well. And it states that in 1925 in New York City, 85% of black families were two-parent families.
And isn't that something?
It's incredible. I mean, and that's the answer. That's what's happened since we've had that expensive war on poverty that we are never able to win.
A vote-buying war is what it really is. It was a vote-buying war by the left. They figured they would own the vote of all recipients.
Well, that's exactly what LBJ said after he got the bill passed. It was very derogatory the way he stated it.
Cruder terms than that, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to switch subjects. We could talk about many subjects for hours. However, we only have 25 minutes left in the show. I do want to talk about the presidential race, and or we want to talk about it. And obviously, Trump seems to dominate. So Kerry was going to tell something about.
Well, I was going to say one of the big, surprising announcements this week was that Trump did sign the GOP loyalty pledge. He was the one, if you remember, if you saw the first debate, that was the very first question out of the chute was who here would be willing to sign a loyalty pledge or would not be willing to. And he was the only one that raised his hand. As a deal maker, one would say to sign that would be to give up their leverage. So a lot of people were scratching their heads this week going, well, why the heck did he sign it?
Well, Kerry, whose name did he sign? I heard Fallon said he signed Jeb Bush's name.
Jimmy Fallon said he signed Jeb Bush's name to the loyalty pledge. But here's what I think may have happened. This is just my two cents. I believe that Bush is expected to sign the same loyalty pledge. All of the candidates are expected to sign it, which means that if... in theory, if they win the whoever wins the nomination, the rest of the candidates must pledge their support for that person, including Trump. So in signing that, the rest of the candidates must follow. And if you look at the math right now, Trump has 27% of the GOP support to Bush's 23% in a head-to-head matchup. Combined, that makes 50% to Hillary's 42%. That ensures a GOP win.
Actually, I'm just tuning into this fact. I thought the loyalty pledge was about, I promise I won't run third party.
Well, it's more than that. I think it means that you pledge to, you commit to support them if they win the nomination. And that kind of commitment would be very important coming from a Jeb Bush towards a Trump were he to win the nomination. Very important.
Yeah, this is, you raise a larger point. We talked earlier before the show about this idea. So, I mean, if it really means that you're agreeing that you're going to throw your support behind whoever wins the nomination, this is a hard thing because for the last, I don't know how many presidential cycles, a lot of conservatives have felt like, okay, well, it's my duty. I always vote in the right side of the aisle. So a vote for, you know, whoever the candidate is. And it's kind of like the conservatives have had to go along because the establishment kind of got their guy. So,
well, we've had the GOP, what we call the GOP establishment or the ruling class, pick our candidates for us based on whose turn it is to be the nominee. The very first political rally I ever attended was for Bob Dole. Wah, wah. I mean, it was pitiful. It was just his turn. And then here comes John McCain, and then it's his turn. And then we have Romney, and it's his. We are tired of holding our nose to vote. And I say that if Trump wins the nomination, then it's the establishment's turn to hold their nose.
But will they? Will they?
Well,
honestly,
that's where I think the GOP loyalty pledge, that's why I think Trump signed it, because it commits the other candidates to signing on to supporting him were he to win the nomination.
Yeah, the thing is, he can't make them. I mean, you can sign it, but you can have a Jeb Bush, if he loses, saying, oh, yeah, I signed loyalty pledge, go ahead and
support
Obama.
Well, he's pretty much sinking. He's down in single digits.
Yeah, he's just sinking.
And there's, if you look at Drudge Report right now, there's a picture of Hillary. She's down 9 points in New Hampshire.
She actually might be in serious trouble. I kept thinking no matter what
sinking
happens,
like a stone.
She'll get the nomination. But I don't know what you guys think about that. You think she'll get it?
I think she'll get it, but I also think she'll lose. So that's...
Okay, well, it depends on what Valerie Jarrett wants, I think.
Woman. Or Obama. I mean, honestly, Obama could sick Loretta Lynch after Hillary at any point. I mean, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that he wouldn't do that because he has a lot on Hillary, but she may have a lot on him, too. Oh. You know, so who knows? Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you guys what you thought about, Hugh Hewitt, who is I believe he's on this station, 660 AM, and he had an interview with Donald Trump where he was asking questions about different people who are serious, internationally known Islamic leaders at various names. I can't even find them in the article fast enough, but he basically did a kind of a gotcha interview with Donald Trump where he said, well, what do you think about, and I'm not even going to try to pretend I have the names because I don't in front of me, but it was kind of a mocking interview. Well, you don't know who so-and-so is and so-and-so is.
I believe Mark Levin calls them Yabba Dabba Doo.
Yeah. But I mean, there were serious, you know, leaders of Islamic terrorist groups. groups and leaders of countries, and Donald Trump didn't know the answer. So there was one really funny thing which they brought up, which was that I guess when Reagan had a similar interview where he was not, he couldn't name or didn't know the names of some, you know, enemies of America, he said, it doesn't matter if I know their names, they're going to know mine. Mm-hmm. That was a great answer. But Trump, so was that a gotcha thing or was that a legitimate thing to ask Trump?
Well, it appears to be a gotcha thing. But I was watching Fox News yesterday morning and saw Alan West on there, and he was asked that question. He felt like, you know, Trump does need to know this. But what it further illustrated was that Trump needs to, you know, which he'll do probably with everything, is hire the best and the brightest to inform him on it, which yes. is what he's good at because he's a good manager.
And we've watched him do it on how many seasons of The Apprentice? Yes. Isn't that, I mean, and, he's been auditioning for this.
I can't think of anybody better for him than Alan West to help him understand what's
Absolutely.
Going on.
And Mark Levin had a good point earlier. He says there's somebody in power that knows the name of every single one of these people, and it's Barack Obama. What good has that done us?
No kidding.
Another good point. You know, I do think on this question, you do want a leader, and maybe this is a good way to go into the next last segment about what do you really want in a leader? Because you could have someone with an encyclopedic memory mm-hmm. and know every single leader and the dates of every single battle of with everyone, but at the end of the day, do they have an understanding of what America is? Do they have a willingness to speak up and defend America? Do they have willingness to fight for America? And they can, as you say, Chris, or you're both saying, you know, you can hire the people who understand what it is you're supposed to understand. But we have in Obama, to make your point, Carrie, and I'm sorry because you want to say something, but to make your point about, you know, you can know all the names, but if you don't have your head right and you don't mm-hmm. understand what America is, you aren't doing us any good.
A big picture visionary knows that they can't know everything. That's why they surround themselves with the people who can. I'll never forget when Obama was already elected but not yet in office, and he had that silly little Office of the President-elect seal behind a podium, yeah. and he was answering questions and stuff like this. I remember our own Dallas Mark Cuban saying, huh, I'm getting concerned. He's not put one business leader on his cabinet.
Exactly.
No one with business experience on his cabinet.
He has, because he doesn't actually care what business stands for.
It was
for.
The
he,
Harvard he faculty lounge.
Yeah,
it was
right.
all of these ideologues that didn't have a lot of real world experience, and Mark Cuban noticed it and put something about that in his blog. So I think it's important that in a leader you have somebody who knows how to tap into the best and brightest on the issue. I wasn't really taking Trump seriously until the number one issue I think our country faces, and indeed it's a global issue, is immigration. When Trump consulted Senator Jeff Sessions on that issue, that's when I perked up and said, wow.
Yeah.
I think he's went to number one on that.
You know, we got to zip off to the break. So we have enough time for the last segment, but one little funny thing, and then we take our quick break, which was when Hugh Hewitt was asking Donald Trump about all these. It was a quiz. It was like a quiz meeting. The one thing that Trump said that was kind of funny, he says, I'm going to find policy experts. They're going to tell me all about it. I'm a delegator. I'm going to tell them to deal with it. We're going to deal with it once and for all. Hamas, Hezbollah, what do you need to know? The terrorist organizations, they need to be wiped out. Amen to him on that. Okay, and we are not advocating, by the way, for Donald Trump. We just want a strong leader. We want a brave mm-hmm. spokesman for America, which I think there are several of them in the race still. But we're going to zip off to our break. This is Debbie Georges and Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. And after our break, my leading ladies, Carrie Kelman, Chris Davis, and I'll be back for our final segment to talk a little bit about the transgender battles ongoing and some of our tweets and quotes. We have some good ones this week. Stay tuned to Ladies Can We Talk.
660 AM The Answer. 660 AM TheAnswer.com. Dennis Prager says something's gotta give with the economy.
When are we going to pay the piper for all of this debt? Something is gonna give, and it's in large measure because of terrible ideas like government can shape an economy. We have the highest corporate taxes in the world. Then we wonder why companies do business outside of the United States.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
At the Restoring Unity Rally in August of 2015, 20,000 people gathered to celebrate the bond among Americans. A choir sang, All Lives Matter, but mainstream media didn't cover the event. They didn't even share the pictures of Americans of every skin tone joining arms and voices proclaiming our unity as Americans. By contrast, there's regular media coverage of rallies of 30 or fewer people around the theme Black Lives Matter. These events get very different coverage because of liberal media bias. Left-wing media coverage is intended to convey that America is a deeply troubled nation made up of competing victim groups, which makes the mission of growing government control of society seem vital. Americans are tired of media bias and of the left-wing attempt to pull America apart. If you're tired of it too, keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer. We talk truth about the goodness of America.
Dallas Baptist University Women's Night Out featuring Shonda Pierce, Thursday, October 15th, 2015, with Lindsay McCall and Karen Williams.
You ever tried to put on a pair of Spanx in an airplane bathroom? My body twisted in ways I didn't know it could.
Focus on the funny. Get your women's group together for a fun night out. Women's Night Out at Northwood Church in Keller, Texas.
So there I was. I didn't want to give in to the peer pressure, but they already had their bags of mascara out and their lipstick, and I'm like, what I got? Bliss text.
Tickets on sale at itickets.com. Call 1-800-965-9324. For group tickets, go to getgrouptickets.com or call 844-381-4751. Buy 10 or more reserve seats at one time and save $5 per ticket. Buy 30 or more reserve seats at one time and save $5 per ticket and get two free tickets from Salem Media Group, Inc. and Awakening Events.
Hey folks, Dave Trainer of the Window Connection here. You know, I just did a great little job in South Lake, and believe it or not, the customer called me up 2 weeks later and said, Dave, I just can't believe that the house is twice as quiet. Did you know that your house could be twice as quiet? Did you know that you could actually not hear the lawnmower going outside? And it was possible to not hear Harleys riding up and down your street? The right windows can be literally twice as quiet. By making a house twice as quiet and four times more energy efficient, it's like you've got a nice airtight little cave to live in. It is a truly wonderful, wonderful thing. And not many people get to experience that kind of quality of life. I'm Dave Trainer of the Window Connection. I would love to show you what a difference it could make. It's all the difference in the world just to be able to sit in a comfortable environment. There's just so much to be said for what replacement windows can do.
Call the Window Connection for an estimate at 972-620-1994. That's 972-620-1994. Or go online to thewindowconnection.net.
Have you ever considered joining the military but stopped because you couldn't deploy to a foreign country? Believe it or not, the state of Texas has its own military force that stands alongside the Texas National Guard, the Texas Air National Guard, and serves only inside the state of Texas. It's called the Texas State Guard. I'm Tech Sergeant John Wells of the 4th Air Wing, and we're looking for you to join us. Give us a call at 877-398-8350. That's 877-398-8350. If you love Texas as much as we do, join the 4th Air Wing of the Texas State Guard.
660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Welcome back to our final segment of Ladies Can We Talk. This fastest 2 hours of my week is almost up. And my leading ladies tonight here are Chris Davis and Carrie Kellerman. You know, we always try to have tweets and quotes. We want to throw in some kind of good quotes or tweets of the week. I do want to just touch on an issue. Maybe we'll talk about it again another time, though. But it has to do with, there was a case you may have heard about this week involving a school in, I think it was Missouri, a high school, and a young girl went into the locker room or the girl's bathroom, and there was a guy in the bathroom and who was exposing himself, using the restroom, but he was a young man who has decided that he is or wants to be a girl. He's the term has become transgender. So the upshot of it was the girl complained because she walked in this restroom and the guy was in there. It turned into a huge deal. It relates to Title IX, which is a federal statute. We can't talk about it right now, but I just want to plant the seed and think about this maybe for another evening show. The young man, and he is a man, he's a boy, he's a 16-year-old boy, he's a boy, and anatomically and every other way, he's a boy. But he was offered by the school, and he said he's dressing like a girl, combing his hair like a girl. He was told by the school, okay, well, we'll have, you know, men's rooms for the boys and ladies' room for the girls and a unisex or, you know, gender confused bathroom, or whatever they called it, you can use. So they actually accommodated him because he didn't want to have to use the boys' bathroom. But he was unwilling to do that. He said, no, I don't have to use a special bathroom. I've decided I'm a girl. I'm going to go in the girls' room. And so bathroom. And so there's, of course, protests. They had 150 students walk out of the school saying, we're not going to share the girls' bathroom with a guy. And regardless of what he thinks he is, he's a guy. And so I want to just say, America is in a very confused place, kind of emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that we look at these kind of cases and we, there's a, what in the past would have been recognized as either a ruse by this young man or a young man who's in need of help, in need of counseling, in need of love and attention. But we didn't just indulge every perversion, every confusion, as though it was a real thing. And I want to tell you, we're going to put this up on the Facebook page also. There's a fabulous Wall Street Journal thing, an article called Transgender Children. It's in the notable and quotable section. And it's a woman doctor. She's a PhD. She actually is a researcher. She's a sex researcher and neuroscientist. And she writes about the idea that she herself as a child got off on wanting to think she was a boy. And she's making the point that we are too quick in our society to have a very young child say, you know, I really want to be the other gender. And we indulge it as though it's a real thing. We begin hormonal therapy and all the other kinds of therapies we do instead of just, she says, in many cases, in most cases, if you don't humor it as a small child, you allow the child to grow, he or she will grow out of that confusion and conform to their natural selves. And there's just something about letting psychiatry trump human reason or God-given identity.
It isn't logical. I mean, there's men and there's women. There's right, there's wrong, there's up, there's down. And when the left comes along and says there's none of those things, it's up, left up to interpretation, then my question is this. If there's no such thing as gender, then how can there be a war on women?
Touche, baby. Yeah, but I think it's a very serious issue. And I think that you know, speaking for women has to mean it's a good thing to have a feminine identity. And men and women are actually not the same. And that's a good thing. Femininity, female qualities are actually beautiful qualities and they complement male qualities. It doesn't mean women can't be smart and strong. It doesn't mean men can't be sensitive and thoughtful and artistic. But I mean, there's a rightness to identity that is God-given. It's not just a, you know, if you think of life as just you're a bunch of carbon units produced by genetics and heredity and there's nothing more to you than that, then you surrender to every whim, confusion, and perversion that comes along. But it's one of those many things American culture needs to be re-energized with, thinking it's okay to understand there are men and women and we are different and that's who we really are.
Debbie, it's political correctness run amok, and it's where common sense is denied. All we need to do is apply a little common sense, like Kelly was talking about, right and wrong, up and down. Are you going to believe what you see before your eyes or, you know, what the liberals are telling you? Mm-hmm. And back in June, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal about a Johns Hopkins psychiatrist who basically said that transgender is a mental disorder that merits treatment, and that sex change is biologically impossible. And for these reasons, Johns Hopkins no longer performs any sex change operations. And it was a very good article about Dr. Paul McHugh, who was the former psychiatrist in chief there at Johns Hopkins. It would be worth looking up because I think, like you talked earlier, let's apply facts to the matter and let's go with that and not what's politically correct.
Mm-hmm. I throw in one more point now. I know we all have tweets and quotes to share. This same, I'm going to post the article too that Chris just talked about on Ladies Can We Talk on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, you need to get on, and then you got to like Ladies Can We Talk. But anyway, on this article, I mentioned Wall Street Journal, this doctor who wrote this, she makes the point that, you know, in the last few years, this transgender phenomenon, this politically correct, you know, acceptance of it all, has already gotten to the point in the psychiatric community that if you say something like she's saying, like if a child says, I think I'm really the opposite gender, you really shouldn't indulge that at a young age. You should allow them to grow out of it. Most of them will grow out of it. They won't think that way anymore. she said even that is something, it's very similar to what happens when people don't accept man-made global climate change. You are shunned as a pariah, as a you know, an outcast. You're not allowed to think that. This is what's happening to professionals who are saying, don't indulge young children who say they wish they're the other gender. We've allowed, you're right, Chris, exactly, political correctness to run amok on this. So we got tweets and quotes. I don't know who wants to start. I have a funny one, but no, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to kind of hark back a little bit to Hugh Hewitt, and I heard him mention after the Trump interview this week that he got his Trump tattoo when Trump called him a third-rate radio announcer.
Well, you know what? And I really don't like he did that to Trump. I mean, I'm not a big Trump fan, honestly. He's not probably my favorite choice, but Hugh Hewitt just tried to belittle him by that, and I don't care for that. And you never hear, you know, liberal media, mainstream media, go after Hillary. They wouldn't put her in the spot and ask what she thinks about some terrorist who's, you know, everyone's supposed to know the name. They wouldn't do it to her.
Mm-hmm. It is, I think, refreshing, though, to hear somebody just call nonsense nonsense, and in a very uncouth way. That's what Donald Trump does a lot of. There is a picture I'm looking at of Hillary Clinton making a speech today. She's got two huge teleprompters. I mean, less than a yard from her face, and they appear in the picture to not be clear, like see-through glass. They appear to be black. And so Donald Trump kind of mocks her. He gets on Twitter and he says, Hillary Clinton made a speech today using the biggest teleprompters I've ever seen. In fact, it wasn't even see-through glass, it was black. And to that I say, well, were they really black, or has she just not wiped them clean yet?
Yeah, but I'm bummed. Actually, on Hillary, I want to share this one too. Oh, and then we got to zip off to our closing. Okay, but Hillary, harking back to the beginning of the show, talking about Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who will not issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. We've been through all that in the show. But Hillary had the audacity to tweet about that. She says, marriage equality is the law of the land. Officials should be held to their duty to uphold the law. End of story. This from Hillary Clinton. This from the Hillary who cannot fathom why she has to comply with laws about email servers, why she has to comply with keeping her emails private. This was a fabulous hypocritical tweet. Okay, we're at the end of the show here. This is Debbie George Addison. Ladies, can we talk? Please follow us on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at Debbie Can We Talk. You can email me at ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. Love to hear your comments about the show. Email me and tweet away, and come back next week to Ladies Can We Talk.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie George Addis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
The Mark Davis Show. The Mark Davis Show.
Things are getting serious. Debate night is just over a week away in the GOP. Iowa and New Hampshire are just 4.5 months away. And the Cowboys are prepping for games that actually mean something. There's a seriousness about life as we reconnect after a Labor Day weekend. But I expect we'll have a good time doing it. So join me for a Tuesday morning reset. We'll see what's in the news and on our minds.
The Mark Davis Show. Weekday mornings at 7, right before Mike Gallagher at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the values that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
Accurate Foundation Repair has been helping your friends and neighbors since 1999. Over 47% of our gross revenues are referral business. You want your home fixed right? Call Accurate.